Clash of Clans Podcast, OG, Episode 2. Welcome back to the Clash of Clans Podcast for the fans in the sand. For the fans in the stand, I can't talk this morning. This is probably the earliest podcast we've ever done. This is Scotty827 back with my co-host and partner in crime here at the podcast, Tip Dog 20.
What's up, my man? Yeah,
not a lot, actually. Kind of a lot. There has been, we talked last time on the podcast. I went forth to do my best work, and that hasn't gone the greatest, but I have learned a lot of lessons along the way, in part thanks to you and your YouTube videos. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the stuff that I learned this week, and we haven't really got a chance to catch up about anything. We try to save it for the podcast.
Yep. So we've typed a few things in clan chat, but I definitely have held off on feedback and stuff because I wanted to get a feel for what you think about Clash of Clans, attacking, attack methods, all of that, you know, and doing spam attacks, which are very viable in the current meta, versus more strategic and precision-based attacks. So what are your thoughts?
Okay. Well, we were talking about like the Ocho Cuoco, right? Mm-hmm. Or so that versus like your style of precision.
Right.
I don't know how much my spammy will work. Like, I think there are, so I'm looking at it thinking to myself, and let me just start with this before I forget it. If you were listening to the last podcast, I was talking about how excited I was about the invisibility spell.
Uh-huh.
I'm an idiot.
No, you're not.
No, because I was thinking that it just made your troops invisible. I had no idea that it made the targets invisible too.
That also makes it one of the most difficult spells to use because of that.
Oh, I'm sitting there going, yeah, I don't know why everybody's not using this. I can just walk all over the space. No, I was just doing it wrong. And so
it's a super powerful spell. Super powerful. You just have to, it's difficult to use.
Yeah, and I was using it for the healers a lot, like in the base, or if you can hold it back. But I hear here, I'm thinking, like, why isn't everybody just being invisible in the center of the base? Look at all these invisibility spells. And it probably the only thing that saved me was that it wasn't leveled up, so it didn't last very long. and so after that, I realized that. So if anybody was listening, I just want to apologize. I'm an idiot. And so we were talking about the Ocho Cuoco, which I didn't know which language that was at first. And
you thought it was French. You said so in clan chat.
Yeah, it was French.
And it's actually Spanish.
Meaning from the hills. And so after we talked about that, I went and watched your video. And one thing you might not remember about me or don't know about me, if you're a listener, new listener, I used to love the Quake.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love the Quake when it first came out. I thought this is the spell to end all spells. And then there were some changes and stuff with it, and it kind of came out of fashion. I think they increased the radius of it too. I think it was much smaller. That's first.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't remember. When the Quake came out, trying to think what year it came out. What, 2016 maybe? Did it come out? 2015, 2016?
Yes, maybe.
So I didn't have a chance to use it that much because I quit in 2016.
Okay. But it was new then to you?
It was pretty new. I remember it coming out, but I don't remember using it that much, if at all.
Okay. Well, people didn't really I think people used to make fun of me on the podcast for it. And I just thought it was awesome, but it was really hard to place. And it feels to me like now, and I think I remember them increasing it before I was done.
This is just from memory. I think the diameter of the earthquake spell is 10 tiles. So 10 tiles each way, 10 by 10, which means you can hit walls. It might be actually 10 and a half, because if you have, for example, an archer tower, a space, and then a cannon, and you have walls on either side of that archer tower and that cannon, you can break down the walls on each side of the archer tower and the cannon, and the number of tiles in between is 10. So it's 3 for the archer tower, 1 in the middle, 3 for the cannon, and then, of course, the tile spaces that the walls are taking up. So that can kind of give you an idea of, okay, will the earthquake spell break down these walls? Well, make sure that there are at least 10 spaces between those walls, and you should be able to knock them down. I mentioned that clan chat where I said that your earthquake spells are a lot wider than you originally think that they are, and you're able to get a lot more, and it does get wider the higher up in level that you go, for sure.
Well, and that was the thing that surprised me, I think. So I watched your video on the Ocho Cueco. I had some leftover spells and stuff on the first ones I shared with you. Mm-hmm. But I used it in war.
Yeah, and it looked good. Your attack looked really good.
Yeah, but I'm also somebody who, and this is an old dog learning a new trick, right? I keep forgetting to boost my heroes and troops.
Oh, that does make a big deal. You're right.
And I think I would have got a 3-star. Mm-hmm. And these are fun wars, right? They're like, for anybody listening, how in the House of Bell, we've been running with like a 5 or 10 war. Mm-hmm. I've been warring with my one hero down usually.
Yeah.
And
I've had 2 heroes down a few of my attacks.
Yeah. It's just been kind of fun. Doing it that way, and then the town hall mix up has been kind of cool too. I thought was, you know, it reminds me of the old days.
Yeah, from town hall 9 to town hall 15, right?
Yeah, yep, yep. A bunch in the middle. Mm-hmm. Was there even an 8? I think there was an 8.
There might be an 8. You're right.
So the Ocho Cueco. Now remind me. I think when I looked at your video and I didn't have all the troop space, so I did the Yetis and I did, what's the composition? 16 Yetis.
Yep. So if your army camps are max at town hall 13, it was 16 Yetis. And then you had an extra 12 troop space, which a Yeti is 18 troop space.
Yeah.
So I threw in a Valk, which is 8 troop space, and a Wizard, which is 4 troop space, just for cleanup behind the Yetis.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason that I brought them for. There's nothing special about them. And later in the video, I even said, look, if you want to trade out your Valk for a Super Wall Breaker, because a Super Wall Breaker is 8 troop space as well, because there you get a ton of value by quaking, you know, towards the center. And then you want to break open the wall to make sure all of your Yetis go through the center and don't wander around. Then that's a good trade-off, taking a Super Wall Breaker rather than a Valk.
And I think I was sweating at that point when I was watching your video, because that's the point where I go, well, he makes it look really easy. Where am I going to mess this up? But I didn't really mess it up. And then I was going into I was wondering about that with the extra troops. I'm thinking, did I mess it up? Because where am I supposed to deploy this?
Mm-hmm.
Wizard, or which one's more important? And then they had the Chinese New Year with those firecrackers. And I was kind of mixing them in and practicing that attack with those.
Yeah. So that's an option. So I didn't go into that in the Ocho Cueco video, but there are lots of alternate versions of Ocho Cueco. So one of the versions is kind of similar to Ocho Cueco. So one of the versions is Yetis and Witches. So Witches come in behind the Yetis. Another very similar version, exact same setup, that works really well is Super Giants and Witches. where you're putting three super giants down on each corner and you're attacking the base broadside. Three giants on each corner with two witches on each corner, and then the rest of your super giants and witches straight up the middle. So it's the exact same setup as the Ocho Cueco, but typically in those attacks, you're not quaking through the middle, but you can. And that's where the variety comes in. Like, you may quake open one spot that is really great and then jump into the rest, but that just comes with time and experience.
Yeah, and I need some experience, because one of the places I went really wrong with it, I kept, am I supposed to drop the log roller first?
No, it's because you don't want the log launcher to be targeted.
Okay, that's what I thought. But I think I keep dropping this thing like it's the last thing to the party. It's like the last thing in the parade that everybody's waiting for. And so it comes in behind. So when should I be dropping that?
So I saw the base that you hit in war, for example, and there was a lot to clean up on the initial entry. So I would have dropped four Yetis on one corner and then four Yetis on the other corner. And then you just have to be patient and you have to wait for a good 10 seconds, I would say.
I think 10 to 15 seconds.
Because you want to make sure that the core of your Yetis don't walk around the sides. And the only way to do that is to let your initial corner Yetis funnel inward and then drop your wall of Yetis and then drop your log launcher, drop your warden, drop your queen. That's the order that I do it in.
Say that one more time. Drop your log launcher.
Corner Yetis, number one. Row of Yetis, number two. Log launcher, number three, because they're behind your Yetis.
Okay.
Warden, number four. King, number five. Queen, number six. And if you never drop your Valk and your Wizard, that's 100% okay. You don't have to drop them at all throughout the attack if you don't want to. So don't stress about where to drop those. I only drop those, for example, let's say that my left flank starts to go down, but the Yeti mites destroyed the defenses, the last defense that was on that side. And you have, a couple barracks and a spell factory and a gold mine that's just kind of sitting over there unprotected in the corner. Hmm. Well, then I'll drop my Valk to clean all that up. Or I'll drop the Wizard to clean all that up.
Okay. Well, So what did you think about my attacks?
They were good. I mean, you had the general idea. At this point, one of the things that I always emphasize in my YouTube videos and in talking strategy with people is muscle memory.
Yeah. I need that because it's blind panic when I go in. So when you're talking about that, about like the drop order, I'm thinking, oh man, I can barely get my troops down the way it is. And now, like, the warden first is gonna give me some problems. And when this screen keeps sliding, I keep forgetting that there's still some troops over. So I need to work on that.
It might help if you wrote it down. So it might help if you write it down or type out a note in your phone. One corner Yetis on each corner.
Yeah. Well, once the attack starts, I black out. It's all gone. True.
You go in the zone.
Well, no, I just have no idea what happens. It just is just blind panic. So when things go right, I pretend that it was all me. But, I'm trying.
Yeah, but that muscle memory is extremely important with attacks.
So why? What do I get out of the quakes that I don't get out of jump spells? That was... Because when we talked about this, and I watched your videos a couple times because I wanted to know where mine went wrong, and you're letting the log launcher go through the wall, right?
Correct.
And so it seemed to me like, well, because here's where I misunderstood it too. I was quaking the whole thing through, like. Mm-hmm. Center and then out to the outside so they could just walk right in. because I loved the earthquake. So I'm like, oh, I can do some, you know, fancy things, I think. But if I don't have the law, if I don't need that outside wall, I probably could have got most of what I needed with just four of those quakes.
So the reason why the quakes are so powerful with Yetis is because of the Yeti mites. So the first four quakes you want to be on the town hall. The reason for that, and to open up the area and the bring down the walls around the town hall, is because typically by the time that the log launcher reaches the town hall, the logs will have already destroyed it just because of the initial earthquake damage. So you won't have to deal with the town hall at all in that case, or maybe a sliver of health, because you have the four quakes and you have the logs that are just hitting it, hitting it, hitting it, hitting it over and over again. So that's number one. The second, the reason that you bring four additional quakes is because of the Yeti mites. So the Yetis bring 12. They have a basket of 12 Yeti mites. That number's probably wrong, on their back. And the reason that that's valuable is because if your archer tower that a Yeti targets is at 40% health, the Yeti starts smashing on it. And then as the Yeti takes damage, a Yeti mite says, "Don't you kill my, don't you hurt my master like that," and jumps out of the bag and jumps on the archer tower and does a certain number of damage. And it just slowly releases the Yeti mites. So you're able to just quickly move through a bunch of defenses because they're already low health.
Okay.
That's also why you typically don't see eight quakes with super giant witch spam, because you don't have the Yeti mites in the backpack in order to do the very minor damage, slowly trickled out damage throughout the attack that you do with Yetis. That's the reason that it works so well.
That makes sense. Because after those attacks, I was experimenting with jump spells and just experimenting with the Yetis, because I honestly really had no idea what they did. I just thought they were kind of like fancy giants. And so when I saw it on your video, and you know, and I've used them a couple times in the past, but I think that was about the time, I think right after the introduction, mine were only level two. Now I've got them going to level three, which I think is going to help too. But again, if I boost my troops and my spells, my troops and heroes, that shouldn't be a problem in war attacks, if I can remember it.
So in a lot of Clash of Clans, a lot of attacks, the troops have troop space, right? So Golem has 30 troop space. A barbarian has one troop space. A super barbarian has five troop space. A loon has five troop space. Well, the beautiful thing about a Yeti is the Yeti itself has 18 troop space, and it is 12. A max Yeti spawns 12 Yeti mites. Well, ooh, each of those Yeti mites, just for data purposes, for coding purposes, each of those Yeti mites count as three troop space.
Oh, wow.
So technically, if 12 Yeti mites come out, it's kind of like 36 troop space with the Yeti mites at plus 18 troop space with the Yeti. So one Yeti is bringing 54 troop space of damage.
Wow. Well, that's going to be nice when mine get leveled up.
Yeah. But
what do you think is like a critical mass? Because if I'm experimenting with, you know, Joe Cueco, and I want to take in a little bit less, little fewer Yeti, little more something else, like, I don't know, like those troops that, like the Azure Dragon.
Right.
What do you think is like, here's what you, you know, minimum I would take?
So Yetis are pretty much all in or nothing. So with the Ocho Cueco for it to work, you have to bring all Yetis. Now, other uses for the Yeti, there is the Yeti blimp, and that's typically when you're doing a Yeti clean party charge. And you send in a blimp to a certain area, typically to grab a hero, and a scattershot and an Inferno Tower and a few other key defenses, and you drop that blimp and rage it up. That's a raged Yeti blimp. That's another use for the Yeti. Or you can use a Yeti to funnel. So a lot of times with the Flame Flinger, if I'm doing a Super Bowler attack at Town Hall 14, 15, or 16, Flame Flinger, the catapult.
Say that five times fast.
I will stick a Yeti in front of the Flame Flinger to tank for it, because one of the most dangerous ways to defend against the Flame Flinger is Teslas. And the beautiful thing about the Yeti is the Yeti mites pop out and go into the compartment where the defenses are, which triggers Teslas to pop.
Ooh, yeah.
So that way they don't surprise your Flame Flinger whenever it approaches those defenses. Those are the three uses that I have seen for the Yeti. There could be more, but I'm just not thinking about at the moment.
You can pick your friends, and you can pick your
and you can pick your nose. We can't
pick your friends. I can't even. What is it? Fire Flinger?
The Flame Flinger?
Flame Flinger. Yeah, that's a tongue twister.
And I love the Flame Spirits from the Flame Flinger.
I haven't seen that, I don't think.
They're cute. So if you use the Flame Flinger, they have zero troop space. That would be awesome if they did, because that means that the Flame Spirits would actually trigger the Teslas. But the Flame Spirits don't have any troop space. But the Flame Flinger fires, and then it lands on the defense, and a circle ring of fire is created.
Oh, cool.
And if you zoom in, you can look and you can see these little fire spirits dancing in the fire. It's pretty cool.
And for God's sakes, make sure you wash your hands afterwards. So what about a queen walk with that attack then? Because I've been loving the recall spell, which I also didn't understand at first and just thought you could just put it anywhere else on the base, but it has to be in the outside. It has to be in the white, right?
Right.
But it's like a queen walk teleporter.
It is. Yeah.
And she gets stuck in the center of the base with that single Inferno all the time.
Yeah.
So I've been taking that in and just dropping, or, you know, pulling her out and pulling her to the outside of the base, like to help, you know, the second part of a funnel or something.
Mm-hmm. So the recall spell isn't used a ton. I will use it every now and then. And the only reason that I use it is if I want to queen charge the town hall. And typically, if you're going to do that, you only use four healers, because the recall spell will only pull, I think it's 108 worth of troop space.
Oh, mine's smaller than that still.
If it's max, I think it's 108. And then that basically you can only take the queen herself and four healers. If you bring five healers in that situation, it will leave a healer there on the battlefield.
I found out that the hard way.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? I just thought of another Yeti attack. But ooh, it's definitely higher on the implementation difficulty level. Yeah. And that's Yeti Bobat.
So it sounds like a summer song.
So song Max, summer. Actually, who's obviously in the House of L, he did a kind of a Yeti Bobat attack where he used a bunch of bowlers.
I was watching it. I still don't know what he did, but it was fun to see.
Yeah, it was an awesome attack. I'd never seen mass bowlers deployed in that manner with healers, and like it was a really cool attack. But with Yeti Bobat, similar entry, you spam a line of Yetis and then you spam a line of bowlers behind that, and you typically will make them enter the base on a section that has all of the wizard towers, and then you will use six bat spells to clear out the back end of the base, hence Yeti Bobat.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he must have been doing that because he had bat spells because he's running air too. Mm-hmm. And what he used in that, maybe I'm wrong about this, but in your video about the Ocho Cueco, you said the Rage gem, and I think he was using it on the Warden in that attack.
So the different pieces of Warden equipment are super interesting to me. And the Rage gem works really well with Ocho Cueco because it rages the Yeti mites. So as the Yeti mites and the Rage gem on the Warden just ups your damage. It's the max is 50% with a max Rage gem. So if you're Yeti mites, and I forget the amount of damage that they do, if they do 350 damage, well, under the Warden's Rage gem, they're actually doing 5, it's Sunday morning, my brain is not working. They're doing 500 damage instead of 350 damage, or 525 damage rather than 350.
We'll leave it
damage
up to the listener to do the math.
Do the math.
It's a good exercise.
but the Rage gem actually rages the Yeti mites in addition to the Yetis that are within the Warden's aura.
Well, I saw that in your video. I thought, mine is so under leveled, but I'll put it in because my friend Tip told me to.
So funny.
I love it. I love it.
I love the Rage gem. Yeah.
So I got it up to, I think it's only like level 5 now, but wow, does that make a difference?
Are you going to buy the special event pass?
I did.
So if you buy the special event pass, you should have enough ore within that event pass to upgrade that Rage gem several levels.
Well, now I have been, but when we talked the last time, I thought I was just going to focus on one, getting it up.
Which is what I recommend.
And so I did take the king up, and then the king's ability up like 2 levels this week. The rage with him too, I think, right?
Yeah, the rage vial. Mm-hmm.
And then I did see the healer puppet was.
I love the healer puppet.
I love it. And so I saw that was, I'm like, well, maybe I should focus on one for each of them. But
not a bad idea.
But I think with the rage. Cause like, what's the base level? Like when I first got it, I think the one with the base you said was level 7 or 8.
It was dependent upon what your heroes were at when the update was introduced. Okay. So for instance, the heroes that I had max on my main base, whenever they were introduced, the Rage Vial and the Barbarian Puppet, the Archer Puppet and the Invisibility Vial, the Eternal Tome and the Life Gem, and then of course 2-piece equipment for the RC, they were all at level 15 for me because my heroes were already max. When on my lower accounts, you know, my king may have been at 50. Well, then Supercell said, oh, hey, you're at 50. Well, we're putting your hero equipment at, I think it was 8. So my Rage Vial and my Barbarian Puppet were both at 8.
So for me, that was kind of like the baseline. So I'm thinking, well, there's got to be a level that maybe I shouldn't use the ability until it's up to a certain.
So that thing. Those two numbers, for especially with the healer puppet, first one is 8. So I wouldn't bother using the healer puppet, for example, before level 8, because 8 is when it goes from one healer popping out to 2 healers popping out, for example.
Yep.
And then 15 seems to be the next number that you really need to focus on. Because, for example, with the healer puppet at level 15, 3 healers pop out versus only 2 from 8 to 14.
Very nice.
So those are kind of the 2 numbers that I have used, 8 and 15.
Okay. So that's maybe what I'll do then is I'll take the Rage gem up to level 8. Because with all the stuff, that was actually a big serious debate in my mind. You know, do I really overstrengthen one? Do I, just because I'm, you know, returning and kind of started at 0. This all the abilities were new, and I got some of them from, like you did, when they brought it out.
But it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I really like it, especially with that. Rage Gem, it made me excited because I didn't, there wasn't really anything sexy about the Warden.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I like that it like he like shuts the shit down, you know, nobody can get hurt, but that rage did more than I imagined. And that works with the bowlers too. And it just seems to, the benefits last further on. Because anything within his tome, right, is like,
yep,
continues to be a little bit raged.
Yes. Yeah. So anything, as long as the Warden is alive, anything within his circle, within his aura, continues to be raged. I just looked up the rage vial. I'm sorry, the rage gem. It doesn't seem there's anything special about level 8 when it comes to the Warden and the rage gem, but
that's a good benchmark.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. You got to have a standard.
Right.
You know,
you know, if you want to do 10 and 15 as your basis, that's good too. So I remember last episode you were talking about the healing tome. And honestly, I have really, the Warden's equipment is the most interesting to me because of the variety. So if you look at the King's equipment, everything is almost the same. Like the Rage Vial, the Barbarian Puppet, the Giant Gauntlet, the Earthquake Boots, like they all do very similar stuff. And same with the Queen, other than the healers popping out. And then, of course, there's the Frozen Arrow. Have you seen that one yet?
Are
you
I got that one.
Nice.
So this is for the Lunar New Year update or event of February 2024. I'm saying this in case I'm in the future looking for the order of episodes as I try to reconstruct them. I did get the Frozen Arrow, and that was poses yet another dilemma about the upgrade process for me as a returning player and starting a little bit fresh with this. So what do you think about that?
So I actually just interviewed BD Legend, who's an expert on all the hero equipment.
Ooh.
And initially,
he's like the Q, like the James Bond Q of healer equipment.
Pretty much. Hero equipment. Yeah, yeah. He knows his stuff, right? And awesome. We were both initially thinking, man, the Frozen Arrow, just it's an piece of epic equipment, but just don't see it replacing the invisibility vial and the healer puppet. But if you don't need the extra healers to pop out of the Queen, using the Frozen Arrow with the invisibility vial seems to be a really powerful combination. So if you're doing a Queen walk and you can put in Coco Loons to test for Black Mines, and you don't need those extra healers popping out. So Coco Loons are a funny story actually behind that. Those, if you see somebody doing a Queen walk, you'll see them release a loon every now and again, and that's to test for Black Mines.
Oh, okay.
So that those Black Mines don't target your healers and you can keep all 5 healers on your Queen.
Okay. So
the story comes because evidently there was a player from War Whales back in the day who they were releasing these test loons, and somebody on a stream said, oh, when the loon goes down to a Black Mine, it looks like a coconut that's falling from a coconut tree. And if you look at it, it looks exactly like that. Like the Black Mine's coming up, hitting the balloon, it goes broop, like right down to the ground. Looks just like a coconut falling down from a coconut tree. So that's the reason they're called Coco Loons.
I'm just here to translate for the listener. Don't mind me. Of course I knew what that was.
It's a funny story though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Long legacies in this game.
Mm-hmm.
What does it do against Infernos? That was one of the things that I was wondering. Does it, like on those single Infernos, will it impact the burn?
It will impact the ramp speed considerably.
Oh, really?
So you know that a single Inferno Tower, for example, it takes time for it to heat up, to ramp up its power.
Yeah.
So if the Queen's Frozen Arrow is hitting it, then that slows it down by a lot. I don't know the percentages. I haven't looked. But basically, the single Inferno Tower will not ramp all the way up to the level where he can kill your Queen if the queen has the frozen arrow on her. So it becomes very useful and essentially saves a freeze spell space if you have the frozen arrow on your queen in that instance. Now, the negative about the frozen arrow, which is what me and BD talked about, is if you are queen charging an area that has four expos and all four expos are hitting your queen at the same time, well, the frozen arrow is only going to hit one expo at a time. So the other three expos are still full power.
Yeah.
So it has, you know, limited use in that sense. It doesn't do splash frozen damage. It does single target frozen damage, which is kind of a meh.
Could it be like a replacement for the invisibility? Like, could you trade out like the benefit? Because, you know, like with the queen healers, right? So you had the puppet and that. And that's case you were saying with the expos. Well, you go invisible, the healers start getting taken out, but you start with the one, go through it, and plow through them.
Yeah, it's tough. And I mean, it would be base dependent, attack situation dependent. But honestly, the invisibility vial is really tough to replace just because A, she goes invisible, which means she can't be hit by defenses during that time period. But also the invisibility vial gives you power shots. And those power shots do up to, I think it's 1836 damage per hit. And it lasts, the higher that your invisibility vial is upgraded, the longer that it lasts. But it lasts a good 7 or 8 seconds. And she's just bam, 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 hitting with those power shots. So, for instance, if you're going against the Town Hall has the most HP on the base, 10,000 HP. So in order, and you can take down a Town Hall with the Queen's power shots alone because they do 1,800 damage. I think it's 1,836 damage per power shot. So you can take it down in 6 hits, which is perfect because that's about the time that the Queen's invisibility vial lasts. So as long as you can get your Queen to the Town Hall without using your ability and then smash the ability as soon as she reaches the Town Hall, then you're guaranteed that the Queen will take the Town Hall down, assuming she's max at that Town Hall level.
Okay, that makes sense. The one ability I don't find very helpful for me, and it's probably because of my levels, with the Ocho Cueco, was the archer ability or the archer puppet.
Yep.
Because I think you said more DPS in the center. But for me, when I drop them, they're gone like in a second.
Yep.
And then the queen comes out of it and it's like kind of, she's left on her own. But when I started to drop that healer puppet back into it, she'd pop out of it. And if I needed something to take the heat, at least the healers were there. And then I had a fair shot of still getting some healing out of it. So I guess I was taking a little bit more of a risk, but the healers would take the fire or whatever. But I feel like I win the battle a little bit more, and there's usually those healers in there.
So the reason that I recommended the archer puppet, the little archers, is because with the healer puppet, the queen does not receive a damage boost. So her damage per second stays the same when you hit the ability. But if you have the archer puppet, her DPS is increased, I think, by 120. So that means you're getting more power per shot after hitting the archer puppet ability versus if you hit the healer puppet ability. And typically with Ocho Cueco, your queen is going to be behind a wall of Yetis if you funnel correctly. So that means she's not in danger of dying as soon as she would as if you're doing a queen walk, for example, or a Sui Hero entry. So, but definitely go with what works best for you. But that's the reason why I recommended it, just because she's behind the wall of Yetis and she can do more damage over the heads of the Yetis with the Archer Puppet.
Well, maybe that would be a good case for the frozen arrow then.
Yeah. I mean, using whatever combination worked for you. The one thing that Supercell has done really, really, really well is they have balanced all of these pieces of equipment really well. So
yeah,
other than the Warden, because I think you can really mess up an attack by using the wrong Warden ability with the King and the Queen. And of course the RC only has two abilities, but with the King and the Queen, you can pretty much use any piece of equipment and you can still three star. Okay. Because each of those pieces of equipment just offer a slight different advantage.
Yeah,
they're
like
all
that.
Beneficial. They're all really cool.
Yeah, I that makes me excited, especially seeing a new ability come out. So I've been back for like, well, I guess almost 2 months playing again. And the Gauntlet was released. I don't know if that was, you know, before, if that was the first time anybody had seen it. Or whatnot.
Yep, December was when it was released. December 12th, I think.
And was that the first piece of hero equipment that was released like that?
It was the first that was released through a special event.
Ah, okay. So that was something big I didn't really miss. Yeah. I wish I would have got it.
So it was just confirmed on Judah Floss channel that they will be introducing all of the epic equipment you can purchase with gems.
Oh, okay.
And they said it will be a month or two after the event.
Okay.
Which means that the Giant Gauntlet will likely be available in March, right after the Lunar New Year event ends. I imagine you'll see it pop up in the shop and you can buy it if you want. And the going rate seems to be 1,500 gems. Could be more, okay. Could be less, but...
But that's good. And that was one of my big questions, like, looking at it, if I miss it, is this like a one shot and you're done kind of thing, which would be kind of cool. I mean, for Supercell to do something that you can only get by being there at a particular time.
I do like the concept of being able to get it for free, and I'm doing free in air quotes, right? Because you still have to work for it by getting the event medals, whatever that is. So it's cookies. Cookie medals at Christmas. Now it's red envelopes for this event. Like, you can get it for free if you participate during the event. If you miss the event, gosh darn it, well, you can buy it for gems if you want after that event is over.
Yeah. I like things that would be pay proof, you know, or at least like you'd have to. I like things that kind of mark it in time, like those Christmas trees and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it is cool too to have things that are only available one time, and then that's it. You can never get it again. And you mentioned the Christmas trees, which I have every Christmas tree except for 2017.
I've got most of them, except for the very first one that I think I cut down.
Yep, but I have them lined up, and it's an OG. It's something that I'm proud of. Like, look at me. Yeah. I have the 2014 Christmas tree, you know, all the way up. Oh, darn it. The one year that I didn't actually log in, you know, see how Clash of Clans was doing, was 2017. And here's a hole where that Christmas tree should be, but I have all the others, you know, that's a cool representative kind of thing. So I have all of the Halloween obstacles, which are super cool.
Cool. I've been trying to take inventory. I have to say this, this update with the event, the Lunar New Year, was made for mailman.
Did you hear that? Mailman.
Player, that?
Mailman.
Friend, former guest, and who will be coming back to the podcast to hear, who's, I think, rocking a maxed out bass right now. But that mailbox with the letters come out of.
Oh, yes, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
I saw it yesterday. I was like, what the hell? How did he do that?
Mailman's the one who got it in the game.
I went in there, I screenshotted it, and I just zoomed in, and I said, this update is all about you. How did they know? your own private statue.
They were talking about it around the headquarters table. They were like, man, we need a way to get the player mailman back in the game. How are we going to do that? And some guy on the side says, isn't mailman a postal delivery service employee? And the other guy said, yes.
Well, he's already, but here's the thing. He was already playing, right? And they said, I think it was more like, how do we honor our postal worker? Come rain, come shine. There he is grinding on his clash during his route. So big shout out to him. I thought that was kind of a fun little thing. I'm excited to have that. And I'm excited about those shovels too, because now I can move my Christmas trees whenever I get.
Yep. And there was a big change made to the shovel. I think it was about a year ago, where before you used a shovel to move an obstacle. And then if you wanted to move that obstacle again, you had to use a second shovel to move it again.
Okay.
But now, once you use a shovel on it, it's permanently movable, which is super cool on Supercell's part. Because they could have made a lot of money off that, to be honest with you. People just using shovels over and over again to move stuff. But to their credit, they realized that they were basically double dipping on that instance. And so now you only have to use one shovel and that's it.
And but the old ones didn't get the ability. You have to reshovel them, right?
Right. Okay. You have to shovel them for the first time in order to move them.
I'm sitting there going, I know I shoveled some stuff. And now this stuff isn't movable. All my flags are gone. I don't know where.
Yeah. So funny. So Supercell took those out of the game 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago. And their reason was because they didn't want controversy to creep into Clash of Clans. They didn't want real world conflicts to make its way into the game. So for example, the current conflict of Israel versus Gaza, all of that, like you would have, you know, people that are flying certain flags representing some countries versus, you know, other people that are representing other, and it was political. And so basically Clash of Clans says, nope, we're just taking them all out of the game. That way it doesn't get political at all, which I understand. Makes sense to me.
Where'd they put them?
Where did they put the flags?
Did they give me gems for it?
No, they just took them away. They might have given gems. I don't know, because I never had any flags on my base.
Fury just went off and said, give me gems. I just found this. Forget me, gems. Sorry, say that again.
They might have given gems, but I never had ever had any flags on my base, so I don't know. I haven't researched that at all. They might have given players gems.
I had a lot of stuff. I wish I knew what I had. But the one said stash, so I was like, well, maybe there's a coat closet that I can't find amongst all these buttons without my flags in it.
So they did keep... I think it's the white flag, the pirate flag.
And the torches.
Torches they kept, yeah. A few of the OG statues they kept, yeah.
So, with the Ocho Cueco, I gotta just ask this. What was the CC spell? Because can I just take 8 earthquakes total?
You can, but... Typically 8 is the max that you want to take with that attack, because any 4 earthquakes will break down walls.
Yeah.
So you do 4 on one spot, 4 on another spot.
I think I had 11. I was taking 9 in or something. So if I just take like 2 in my CC, 6, and I could maybe... Spell
compliment. Yep.
I'll do the rage and then my teleportation. I'm surprised you with Star Trek. I know how much you like it, that you're not using the transporter spell.
Yeah, I just don't use it.
Beam me up. Beam me up,
Scotty.
Well, my queen goes the wrong way all the time. Things don't work out exactly how I anticipated. It's kind of like a oops. Take her out. This person out. I could imagine that on the bowler, that Yeti bowler attack. Like if you got a funnel coming through, you could just vanish off a bunch and shove them on another part of the base.
Yep. So you will also see, in order to funnel, you'll see a 4 healer queen walk that will funnel out a section of the base. You recall her and then put her down in the opposite corner and funnel her towards the inside of the base to do your smash attack, whatever it is. I do see that decent amount.
Okay. And
that's pretty powerful as well.
Because that's what I was thinking. And I think with, you know, to get back to your original question, I look at your attacks and I think I'm envious. because I wish I was at that point where I could really figure out, okay, it's going to hit this, it's going to hit this, it's going to take out this. And as I practice more, I'm sure that will, the needle will move in some direction. But I'm really used to the old spammy attacks, but these new spells and like the beam me up spell. It really, I can see how the spammy, or how you could really work funnels a lot more, adjust attacks. And like you said, I think the balance is at a really good spot for it.
Yep. Agreed. 100%.
Because when I think, you know, if I go into a war attack, I don't really feel completely overmatched. Like, even if it's, and you know, what wars have we really been in lately, but you know, this kind of mix, but even I'm surprised what my army does if I hit up a little bit.
So you're looking at it from the perspective of old Town Hall 10 and old Town Hall 11. I actually watched a video of Judah Sloth interviewing Darian back in 2017.
Okay.
And they were talking about how the hit rate at Town Hall 11 was even below the hit rate of 10v10 back in the day, because nobody could three-star at Town Hall 11. Like, it was so difficult to three-star at Town Hall 11.
It was, and they wanted to make it easier. Impossible in war. Almost right. Impossible.
Right. For everybody. But now they have balanced things to where they realize that players enjoy the game more if they can triple a base. And so they have, especially the lower town halls, they balance things really well in favor of the offense over the defense. And hey, if you want a harder base to hit, I know there are a lot of players right now complaining that Town Hall 16 is too easy. But hey, if you want harder, more strategic, to use more strategic attacks, then go up in town halls to get that experience. But the balance and the enjoyment is currently at the lower town hall levels, which is what we're at in House of L right now.
Yeah. And I, so for me, it's also that there's more control after the initial start.
More options.
Yeah. It's not like just throw it completely at the base, you know, get things down. But even if I mess it up, I have other things I can do. You know, there's the two abilities. It'd be cool to see two abilities, you know, be able to use abilities at different times on the heroes. Right? We can't do that.
You know, it would be really cool. I just had a thought, you saying that. What would be awesome is if one of the queen abilities was the recall spell ability.
Oh, yeah.
So if you hit the queen's ability,
recall gem.
The recall gem. Yes, exactly. Where it would recall, and it's the same size and space as the recall spell, the transporter spell, as we Star Trek fans like to call it. Boop, boop. But it would recall your queen and up to four healers out of a dangerous situation if you had that ability on your queen. That would almost be more valuable than the invisibility vial in some situations.
The Book of Regret.
But that would be super cool.
That would be really cool. Pop her right out. And that one, that spell just really got me excited, because Wait, who a former guest and who's going to be an upcoming guest on the Clash of Clans podcast, he loved his queen walk, and he's going to come back to the game and check it out and stuff, and I think that's going to really excite him to see that queen walk with the ability to teleport.
That would be super cool.
Is there any rule on that about how long that they can hang out in there?
What do you mean by that?
Well, they're partying while the whole battle's going on.
Oh.
Can I drop them like at the very end. Like they're not going to like suddenly disappear on me.
No, it's not. So it's not like the clone spell. The clone spell only lasts, I think, it's 30 seconds. So if you clone some balloons, then those clone balloons will only last a certain amount of time before they disappear. But that's not the case with the recall spell. You can never put her down or put her down in the last 30 seconds. It's just chilling out there on the right side of your troop deployment bar.
Okay. I just wanted to be safe because,
you never know.
You don't want to pull another invisibility spell here. And which.
Always be safe. Always wear protection.
Always be. Always have your. Well, it's kind of like a cleaner. Clean the dirty off the
yeah, clean up afterwards.
Do you ever see that being used on anything else? Like.
Yeah, so the only time I see the recall spell used is typically on the queen with four healers, or the other time that I'll see it used is in a super bowler attack. So the super bowlers are squishy, but again, that's another awesome troop that I see that you will start using at Town Hall 14. And the super bowlers will go in and get the town hall, and rather than have them die in the town hall poison, you can recall a group of them out. And then use them for cleanup on the outside of the base. I have seen that used, but that's the only two instances that I've really seen the recall spell used.
Super Bowler on Super Bowl Sunday. And they get recalled to the tailgate party.
Yes.
Cool. Very nice. Anything that you want to get to that we haven't got to yet today?
Not that I can think of. I'm excited to talk to Wait and Mailman and get their perspective as OG players coming in to all of this new stuff. Like, I'm excited about that.
And I've got to track down Dirty Pirate. Mm-hmm. And we are on the hunt for the ever elusive Itachi.
Itachi.
He is still missing, but if you find him, bring him to us. It's funny too because I texted Mailman, but I think since I was on your podcast, I was talking. I said, "Oh, I'm going to go through the game," and at any point, I could have just texted him, and I could text DP. But I feel like I'm walking through the woods of Clash, and going to have to track him down through the back channels instead of real life channels. But that mail. Box was just too perfect.
Perfectly fit, Mailman. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm really excited to see what I think Dirty Pirate is playing. I see his, I haven't really checked out his base much. I know Wait hasn't been, and so I'm excited to see what he thinks of all the changes. I can imagine what he's going to say. We're also doing wars now in the House of L. If you would like to stop by and do a couple wars or come hang out, you can find us, House of L. We will be there. The wars, this is a type of war where I'm in a war if I've got a hero down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, give it our best kind of thing.
Just have fun. That's it. Yep, yeah. Just having fun.
I'm really excited about this raid weekend stuff, too. It's been kind of cool to see it.
That has been fun. Yeah, especially starting at such a low level. It's interesting to reuse a lot of the lower troops that I haven't had to use in a long time.
And do you think it's like just level everything up? Or is it just like keep unlocking everything?
So it's typically like your regular base. You want to try to focus on the elixir, not elixir upgrades, because everything uses the same. You want to focus on troops and spells first. That way your attacking ability outpaces your defensive ability. More fun that way.
Troops this time. That was fun. I think we had, 50 space last time, and now it was 90, something like that.
So I'm really excited to eventually be able to use Swiss G on bases.
Yeah, you were saying that.
So that's another attack strategy that's really cool. Again, a little more strategic. You have to look at base pathing. And I really enjoy it. So I use Swiss G all the time in Quark's Bar, but I have a level 5 clan capital going to be going up to level 6 here pretty soon. And then.
Does everybody just take a level and edit it?
It's like, you can upgrade whatever you want, and then.
But you know how like the base design is?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Does everybody in the clan kind of go, oh, I'll take this one and I'll work on it. This will be my base. Or is it?
Anybody can edit the bases. And also, there are base links out there that you can use. Click those base links, and it will automatically set your base. Similar to like your war base. You know how I put that base link in clan chat?
Yeah.
And you clicked on it and copied it and made it your war base. Very similar to the clan capital. You can do the same thing. And any co-leader or higher can do that.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking like, ooh, you know, maybe I'll work on this one right here. And if I move this, or I didn't know if somebody moved it or, you know, adjusted it. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking, am I moving it back? They come back in here.
Yeah, play with it. Have fun with it.
That's really cool. I'd like this whole big base thing.
Mm-hmm. It has a big Boom Beach feel to it. Do you ever play Boom Beach?
Yeah, I did for a while back in the day. Yeah, it does. I didn't even make that connection. I just like how the map is big. And I was thinking like, ooh, in that one corner, you could do it like Helm's Deep. You know, mm-hmm. you've got all these things coming in layer to layer to layer. It's kind of exciting to see these changes for sure.
I love it.
Any shout outs this week?
Shout out to you for putting out this podcast again.
Oh, well, thank you. Shout out to you for agreeing to co-host with me. And thank you for the videos this week. You want to say where you can find your YouTube videos? And I'll put a link to this up on the website too, clashclanspodcast.com.
If you go to YouTube and if you search Clash Tips, my channel pops right up. And then you can go through on my homepage and look for any of those attacks. I need to make another video because another really strong attack that is a little more spammy in nature as well is dragons.
Ooh.
And basically you just zap 3 of the air defenses. It's a little more strategic than Ocho Cueco. But you zap 3 of the air defenses, go after the 4th air defense and maybe the queen with your heroes, and then funnel your dragons into a certain part of the base. And then you can either blimp out the town hall or you can use the stone slammer. That's a little higher level strategy attack, but that one's fun too. So I'll have to make that video here soon and show you how to do that as well, because that one's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have a couple in my pocket like mm-hmm. that I could do. And I've been working on my drags because I was just kind of running them anyways. It's like, finally, it doesn't cost elixir to build the troops,
right?
And the dragons don't take a half an hour or 45 minutes or whatever it was before. So I was like, instead of doing cleanup minions, I was bringing cleanup dragons.
Yeah.
Just kind of fun, you know, because you guarantee if I drop one of those and I need a collector, I'm going to get through that collector.
Mm-hmm.
Those baby drags are pretty new to me too. So that'd be really cool. I'm going to upgrade my recall spell. So that'll be coming up too. I'll tell you a little bit more about my experiences with that. Thank you also on that one YouTube video, you reminded me to upgrade my collectors, or not my collectors, but my storages
mm-hmm.
post update. I completely forgot about that. And with those runes and thinking about efficiency and wasted loot, it completely flew past me. So that is another upgrade priority. I haven't even been able to touch a defense since I went up.
Which is good. That's the way it should be. Upgrade your elixir stuff first. My order of upgrade, and this actually might be changing a little bit, which we can talk about in a future episode if you want. But traditionally, to be strategic about upgrading, you wanted to focus on your heroes first, your elixir upgrades second, so like your army camps, your spell factory, stuff like that, and then your storages alongside of or third, and then focus on defenses last. And then with defenses, you want to focus on your core defenses first, which are at Town Hall 13, your Eagle, your Scattershots, and your Inferno Towers. And then once those are maxed, then your Expos after that.
I want to give a big shout out to House of L, Murr and D-Max and L Relaxed, Mailman Wait, you, of course. And I'm just excited to be back and talking about this stuff. And I realize how little I don't know. And that makes me a little bit excited, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, very excited.
So we will be back coming up. The old catalog of episodes should be out or will be coming out as you are listening to this, if it isn't already, as I work to get the back episodes in the correct order online. So I'm excited to see what people think about Clash in the old days if they weren't around, which I imagine a lot of people weren't around during the beginning and early years that are still playing anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot, but like I'd imagine the majority.
It'll be good to listen to. I've gone back and listened to, I'm a podcast whore. Clash podcast whore. I've listened to all, if there's a podcast up that talks about Clash, like I've listened to every episode. So it'll be good to go back and listen to the OG Clash of Clans podcast.
You're the expert. Episodes.
No, not the expert, but you know, the one podcast that I would love to go back and listen to again, and I don't think we ever will have the chance to do so, is the Buy Forever show. Do you ever listen to that one?
No, or I did at first. There was a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Busy wise. So I was listening to the different podcasts, but not every week. So I wasn't like a regular listener.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just hard to not talk back to everybody because I knew most of the podcasters. So I just wanted to text them and be like, well, I was thinking about this too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Rigoletto had an accident.
Oh, no.
He had a stroke, if I heard right. And it wasn't a great situation. And so he's been out of commission for the past.
Oh, no.
Four or five, maybe going on 6 years now. So I haven't heard about or of or from him at all in that whole period of time. So I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, I hope he's doing well. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
Well, you can find us in the House of L in Clash of Clans or at clashofclanspodcast.com. To be honest, I'm not really doing much with the social media and I don't really care to, besides putting out the, episodes. It's just a lot of work and, do these episodes because I love the game. And I think it's a interesting, fun thing to do. And I want to put them out there. And if anybody finds them and listens to them, that's awesome. But trying to avoid the hate. So this is, I think about this a little bit more as a love letter to Clash. And if you want to get a hold of us, I think it's actually cool if you came in person and said to the clan and said, hey, how's it going? So thanks for tuning in, everybody. And keep it clashy.
Keep it clashy.
Skilly beep 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 skilly beep.